Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're with us on the program this morning for a period of Bible study. I want to talk this morning on the program about Agrippa, the almost Christian. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 26, we will look at a man who was almost persuaded to become a Christian. I believe that there are a lot of people today that are at the point that they could become a Christian, but they just won't do it. They won't take that extra step to be baptized into Christ. They're just almost there. And so I want to look at a man where we actually have an example of this in the Word of God. Are you almost a Christian? Are you almost converted? Are you almost changed? Something to think about. And I want to encourage you in this lesson today to take that next step and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You know, the book of Acts records many cases of conversion. In fact, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts, where you can read about people being converted to Christ and becoming a Christian. There are several success stories listed there in the book of Acts. And we're studying the book of Acts. We've just started at the beginning of the year here at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Come for Bible class. And we normally have Bible class at 9:30 on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Come for Bible class and learn about the great men and women of the book of Acts. And you'll read about how the church began and how it grew, and how people were converted into Christ. And so it's a great book to study from. But the book of Acts also records other reactions to the gospel. Some people heard the gospel and they obeyed it. Other people heard the gospel and they actively turned against it. And then some people were in the middle. They weren't for the gospel. They weren't against the gospel. They were just somewhere there in the middle. And I would place Agrippa there and others there. So let's examine the response of King Agrippa when Paul stands before him on trial in Acts chapter 26. First of all, what was Paul doing there? Well, actually, you have to go all the way back to Acts chapter 21 when Paul had finished his last preaching trip where he was traveling. He'll continue to do more preaching, of course, but some of these preaching trips that he's taking from Antioch, he returns back from the third one, and he comes back to Jerusalem. He's bringing money for the needy saints in Judea that he's been collecting for them. And in Acts chapter 21, he's in the temple one day, and the angriest Jewish mob, they mob him. They don't want him there. They drag him out of the temple, and he's going to be killed, and he's rescued. And starting from that point onward, Paul really is making several defenses. He makes a defense of his actions right there on the steps, going up to the Roman Praetorian Guard castle area. And then in Acts chapter 23, he's on trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He then gets moved to Caesarea, and he's on trial before the Roman procurator or governor Felix. And then he's on trial before Festus. He's there for about 2 years. And one day, King Agrippa and others with him come to Caesarea, and this Porcius Festus, this Roman procurator, says to King Agrippa, the Jewish King Agrippa, I've got this man here, Paul, and I want you to talk with him. And so Agrippa permits him to speak in Acts chapter 26. And again, just summarizing these things, Paul talks about his conversion, how he had been to Damascus to get Christians there and imprison them and cause them to blaspheme. And he sees the resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus, and the Lord talks with him. The Lord tells him to go into Damascus. This is also talked about in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22. Paul is baptized in Damascus for the remission of his sins, to wash away his sins, Acts 22:16. We need to do the same. Then Paul tells Agrippa that Jesus charged him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and that he was going out, carrying out that commission to preach to the Gentiles. That's what he was doing. That's what he had been doing over the past few years. And that's why he was coming back to Jerusalem. So, turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and verse 21. Paul speaking before Agrippa. For this cause the Jews seized me in the temple and attempted to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help that is from God, I stand unto you this day testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should come, how that the Christ or the Messiah must suffer, and how that he first by the resurrection of the dead should proclaim light both to the people, the Jews, and to the Gentiles. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are mad. Your much learning has turned thee mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak forth words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, unto whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this has not been done in a corner. Paul's preaching and the preaching of the other apostles, the spread of the gospel, the growth of the church, everybody knows the truth of these matters. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said unto Paul, with but little persuasion, thou wouldest fain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not you only, but also all that hear me this day, might become such as I am, except these bonds. And the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they had withdrawn, they spake one to another, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or bonds. And Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Earlier in Acts chapter 25, when Paul was speaking to Festus, he said, I appeal unto Caesar. And Festus said unto Caesar, then you must go. And of course, Acts chapter 27, Paul is being sent to Rome to stand before Caesar, and he gets to Rome and Acts chapter 28. So let's notice Agrippa's statement, with but little persuasion, you would fain make me a Christian. The New International Version says, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? The English Standard Version says, in a short time you would persuade me to be a Christian. The King James says, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. The New King James says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. The New American Standard says, in a short time, you are going to persuade me to make a Christian of myself, or to become a Christian. You get the point. The point is that Agrippa is saying, in a short time, I would be persuaded. I'm almost there. I'm not going to act upon it today, but I'm almost there. So when Paul was giving his defense, he is saying, you need to become like me. In verse 29, Paul said, I would hope that all that would hear me would become such as I am. Well, what had he just said that he would want them to become? Well, when you back up in the speech, he is talking about how that he had begun to follow Jesus Christ, and he was obeying Jesus Christ now. And so, with the exception of being bound, he didn't want them to become like that. He wanted them, he said, I want you to become such as I am. What? A follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He has resurrected from the dead, and I am following him. I am preaching him, and I want you to do the same. Well, they just chose not to act upon it that day. I don't know if Agrippa and the others ever became Christians later or not. But friends, we can become a child of God, and we must before it is too late. I believe that there's a lot of people in Clarksville and Montgomery County and Tennessee and across the land and around the world who have heard the Word of God, and they know what they need to do to be saved. They just won't act upon it. They're right there at the doorstep of salvation. I think there's a lot of people like that. They are almost a Christian. I think sometimes children of Christians that are brought to a church service on a regular basis, they know what they need to do to be saved. Their parents are Christians, and they've taught their children. They're just not there yet. They're almost there. I think there are people who attend regularly the assembly. They will not obey the gospel, but they come on a regular basis. I know this. I have an example of this in my mind right now, where a member of the church has been a Christian for many, many years, and they bring their spouse, and their spouse comes every time the door is open, but they won't obey the gospel. They're almost a Christian. There are people who are on their deathbed, and they know what they need to do, but they won't act upon it. They're about to die, and they have an opportunity to become a Christian, but they won't do it. Friends, there's all kinds of people. I've had people tell me, I know what I need to do to be saved, but I need to wait. I need to wait because of my schooling. I need to wait because of my work. I had a person tell me years ago, I need to become a Christian, but I've got to get some things worked out on my job first before I become a Christian. And people do that all the time. There will be time later to make some changes and work some things out, but we need to become a Christian today while we have that opportunity. So first of all, there are people like that. The second thing that I would mention in my lesson today is, why is it that they are like that? Agrippa brings up this idea of persuasion with but little persuasion. Literally, it's in a short, you will persuade me, or within so little. The idea is either a little bit of time or a little bit more time to be persuaded, something along those lines. And so sometimes people are like this because maybe they need more time, in their mind at least, to make some changes. Maybe, for example, it's the message itself. Maybe the gospel message is new, and therefore they need time to think it over. Sometimes they've heard the gospel in the past, and it has lost its appeal. I think the latter is often very common. I've known of people who have heard the gospel many, many times. They've never obeyed it. And it's almost as if the appeal has gotten old and boring. And the appeal, the interest, the zeal has gotten cold. Sometimes people will almost become a Christian because of an intellectual thing. Their mind stands in the way. You might recall Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 1. Some Jews would not obey the gospel, and some Gentiles would not obey the gospel. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, but we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles foolishness. The Jews ask for signs. They want more miracles before they'll believe. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. They're not going to obey the gospel because it's not smart enough for them. And that happens. Sometimes it's motive that stands in the way. There is a lack of a serious desire to be converted. They hear, but they don't want to do. And there is something in their life that is holding them back. A lot of times, it's this next point. It's their morals. There is something going on in their life that they don't want to give up. They're living some self-indulgent lifestyle that stands in the way. I think about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, 17 to 22. He wasn't willing to give up his riches and come follow Jesus. So sometimes it's something that's going on in our life that we don't want to give up. It could be an immorality, it could be alcohol, drugs, fornication, homosexuality, adultery, all kinds of sin that people engage in, lying, deceit, theft, fraud, whatever. People don't want to give that up. They've gotten accustomed to that in their life and they like it. And sometimes it's just simply time. They believe it's not convenient for them to obey. And speaking of Paul on trial, in an earlier trial that Paul was on when he stood in Acts 24 before Felix, and Paul preached before Felix and Drusilla, his wife, he preached of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Acts 24:25. Felix said, "Go thy way this time when I have a convenient season. I will call thee unto me." It's not convenient. And so Felix is the one who said, "Well, I don't want to do it now because it's not convenient." And Agrippa is the one who said, "Well, I'm almost persuaded to become a Christian." So these are some reasons why people will not obey. What is it for you, friend? What's holding you back? Is it the message? Do you need more time to think it over? Let's study. Let's talk about it. But one day that time is going to run out. Is it your intellect? Is it something in your mind where the gospel is not matching up with your thinking? Well, let's talk about that. Let's see if the gospel is reasonable and rational. Is it your motive? You've got something inside where you're lacking a serious desire to be converted. Is it something in your immoral life that you don't want to give up? Is it where you think you'll just have all the time in the world and that when I have a convenient season? Well, we don't know when Jesus is going to come again. And your so-called convenient season may never come about. I'm trying to help you not to fall into that lie of the devil where you can just procrastinate and procrastinate and think you have all the time in the world. So don't be almost persuaded. Be altogether saved. We don't want to be just on the doorstep or the threshold of salvation. We want to walk all the way through it. Agrippa said something to the effect of, "In a short time, you can persuade me to become a Christian." Look at the word persuade. To persuade means to be in a position where you're going to believe. You now want to have a conviction and a belief about something. And it comes because you have heard a message. And Paul, of course, had been preaching to Agrippa. This really was Paul's approach when he was preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 4 in Corinth, he would go into the synagogue and persuade Jews and Greeks. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, when Paul was in the synagogue in Ephesus, he sought to reason and persuade. We find this when he gets to Rome as well in Acts chapter 28. Persuasion comes from hearing the facts, hearing the evidence of gospel preaching. It doesn't come from a direct divine miracle today. It does not come from God speaking to us in our inner ear, some mystical moving thing or a feeling. It is hearing words. We hear the facts, we hear the evidence, and we are persuaded or not. Paul preached of the resurrection of Jesus. He and others would give evidence of that. And a person is either persuaded or they're not by the evidence, much like a court of law today. Agrippa, like the others, was persuaded up to a point, but he didn't want to go any farther than that. And so, friends, you need to be persuaded that the gospel is the truth. You need to be persuaded of the evidence that the New Testament is the divine Word of God. You need to be persuaded that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and there are a number of evidences for that. The empty tomb is one of the great evidences. The fact that the apostles died for their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. They wouldn't die for a lie. They died for the truth. He actually was raised. Then there was the Old Testament scriptures like Psalm 16 and Isaiah 53 that speak of the resurrection of Jesus. That's another line of evidence. So the point is that there is evidence for being a Christian, and we need to be persuaded of that evidence. Being a Christian is not just blindly accepting things that aren't true. Just like anything else that we are persuaded of, we can be persuaded to be a Christian. Notice that Agrippa said, with but little or in a short time, you would persuade me to be a Christian. Notice that. To become or to be a Christian. This implies a change. Conversion is a change. And I need to become something that I'm not now already. True believers, these are the ones who are persuaded, they're convicted, they're the ones who are converted. In the book of Acts, Christians are called believers. What does that mean? They are persuaded by the evidence to become something that they are not currently. You need to be the same, friend. And then those in the book of Acts who are not converted, they are called unbelievers. They're not persuaded. It's the same evidence. It's the same truth. It's the same gospel. Some want to become something different. Others want to remain unchanged. And friends, that's what I want to talk with you about right now. Are you willing to change or just be unchanged? There are people like Agrippa that accept the truth. Do you remember in that sermon that Paul was preaching to him? Paul said to Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets?" Paul said, "I know that you believe." Verse 27. Agrippa believed what the Old Testament prophets said. And the Old Testament prophets, verse 22, said that the Christ must suffer and by the resurrection of the dead to proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. That's what the Old Testament prophets taught, that Christ would suffer, that he would be resurrected, and that he should proclaim light to the people and the Gentiles. Even the Old Testament prophets spoke about how the Messiah would speak to the Gentiles. He would be a light to the Gentiles. The prophets, like Isaiah, for example, taught that. And Paul said, "You believe that, Agrippa. You now need to act upon it." So, friends, it's not enough just simply to know and believe the Bible information. You need to act upon it. You need to be willing to be changed. And so, someone who is not willing to be changed is someone who just is almost a Christian. Do you know that Paul was not himself? He was a changed man. And so he was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. And after he's baptized in Damascus, he preaches Christ. Going to Damascus, he was against Christ. That's why Jesus said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." He was against Christ. When he left Damascus, he was preaching Christ. He was a completely changed person. And later he would write in Galatians 2:20, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." Agrippa, on the other hand, did not want to follow Christ. He did not want to allow Christ to lead his life. He did not want Christ to change his life. And so you have to decide, friends, what do you want? Do you want to be a changed person or not? And when we obey the gospel, we repent of our sins, we're baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. When we believe that Jesus is the Christ and we are willing to confess that, Romans 10:9 and 10, and then we repent, we're baptized for the remission of our sins, it will change us. It will change your marriage. It will change your family. It will change you personally. It will change others around you. Please be willing to do that before it's everlasting too late. Don't be like Agrippa, who just stood up and made some casual comments and then just walked off. Let's not just stand up and say, "Well, that was interesting," and then just walk off. Friends, do you know that to be almost a Christian is to be altogether lost? Do you know that to be almost saved is to be altogether lost? You know, there's some things in life where almost counts. Almost counts in some things here on this earth. If you're playing horseshoes and you get close to getting a ringer, you still get a point, even though you're almost making a ringer. There are some games where you can get some points for being close, but not the judgment day. Almost does not count in the judgment day. There is no second prize or second place in the judgment day. There is no honorable mention. There is no halfway reward called limbo. There is no first, second, and third heaven of the Mormons. There is no heaven on earth of the Jehovah's Witness. We've got to be the Christian that God wants us to be. How will you respond? Let me encourage you. If you're almost a Christian, let me encourage you to do more. Become that Christian today. Almost is not enough. Almost is not good enough. Be that Christian today, and let me help you to do that. Paul said, "I would hope that with little or much, you would become such as I am." Let's just be like Paul, who was a New Testament Christian. Friends, if I can help you to do that today, please contact us and let's study and let's baptize you into Christ. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.